Email todaysor@rte.ie.
The economy may be improving, employment figures are rising, but there are still thousands of people struggling with debt and in danger of losing their homes. Valerie Cox is with me. Valerie, you've been back to an organisation called the Phoenix Project in Portlaoise. What's the update from there?
Well, Sean, this organisation started in 2008, and there's experts from all areas that you might need to help you, financial advisors, counsellors, even stress management people. Now, as you say, we've been there before and we've met their clients before, but now they're facing a situation where more and more of their clients are dealing with the legalities of the mortgage companies trying to repossess their homes. Now, the other thing to note is that there's now many people who were doing well in the boom years and bought or invested, and then things went sour. People like Philip. Now, Philip is 44. He's from the Midlands. He's married with two children. And he decided to upgrade his house in 2007, just before the crash. He freely admits that in hindsight, he took on too much. His mortgage of £300,000 is now £340,000. He's £40,000 in arrears. And he's paying €500 a month instead of what he should be paying, which is £1,600. Now, I joined Philip and Dave Kavanagh, the Phoenix financial planner who looks after Philip.
I lost my job about 4 years ago. It was just redundant and I just got enough money to keep me going for a few months. I was self-employed basically at the time, so I had no options to go dole or anything else like that. So I travelled to England to a company who I was selling through, and I asked them for a job and I said I could sell their product in Ireland, and they took me on, took a risk. Small wages, English wages, which is a lot smaller, and higher taxes over here. I had half the money I was on from my previous job, so we couldn't afford to pay the mortgage. So we went to the banks and asked them for help. We had meetings with sort of advisors, but they just couldn't do anything to it. They advised us to go to MABS. We went to MABS. They'd done a financial report, and that's all they could do for us. And we just paid everybody. We kept in touch with everybody. And recently we've given some sort of payment plan and how we sort of help to get out, but they just don't want to listen to us. And what really kills us is that every now and again something happens, like, you know, the car has to be repaired, and that's 300 that has to come from somewhere, so something doesn't get paid. Just get to the last sort of 10 days of the month, and that's when you start looking for the few pennies behind the couch and places like that. And it's just been very, last winter was extremely difficult for us.
Has Philip been uncooperative or anything?
No, if we look back over the file, there's a history of full cooperation. It looks like they want him to bring him to the very edge of the cliff face here at this stage.
Do you feel any better since coming to Phoenix?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's taken the fear away from it.
Like, these are very professional people. They're well able to articulate their position. It's a mystery to us why the bank are not engaging with them. And what is being put forward for me as a financial planner, it just doesn't make sense. And I can empathise with the total frustration that Philip and his wife are feeling, because they have engaged with pages after pages, reams of financial information. There could not be more cooperation, there could not be more visibility, and he is totally frustrated where he stands.
And that's Dave Kavanagh, Phoenix financial planner in Portlaoise there, Valerie, and with him Philip, who is in that deep trouble, I suppose you could say. He's a relatively young man, but you met an older couple as well in difficulties.
Yeah, I did. Now, this is Cheryl and Joe. And Sean, they told me that their situation has put them in pure fear. They took out a mortgage 14 years ago of $115,000, but then they both lost their jobs and they couldn't pay it. They now owe $93,000 and they're both on social welfare. But here's the thing, they're still paying €450 a month into their mortgage. They should be paying €680, and this means that they're left with very little money. This is how they're living.
Well, we're social welfare, and that's going to that every month.
So how much have you got left to live on?
Just 20 or 30 euros a week is all is left.
Do you pay for your food out of that?
Yes, that's it.
So how do you manage? What do you buy?
Well, I buy basics, tea, milk, bread. I can cook from small, cheap food. You know, I make it stretch because we live in the country. Everybody cooks.
So what would a typical dinner be?
Mince, anyway, and potatoes. And we have our own vegetables, a few vegetables. That's it. Valerie, we don't have a dinner during the week. We have it at the weekend.
So what do you survive on?
Bread and fruit, because we have apple trees. We had loads of apples this year, and vegetables.
And what about fixed charges now, like the property tax? How do you manage with that, or how are you going to manage?
Well, coming up to near the time, we try and cut back on something else, or something goes to one side until the property tax is paid, and then make it up along again, like, you know.
But Cheryl, there is no room to cut back, is there?
I honestly don't know in March this year how we'll pay it. I didn't answer the letter yet. I just don't know. And the water, I don't even want to know about the water.
And what about Christmas now?
Christmas? There is no, I don't care about Christmas anymore. And Christmas just, it doesn't feel like, I'm sick of Christmas at this moment in time, because you think you just had money to hand out for everything. The television never stops. The shops are at it. It's everywhere. I hate it now at this moment.
Yeah, it's Christmas. It's a thing of the past with us, because you don't have money to enjoy it anymore. Years ago, in the building and everything, you had a few pounds there to get a few presents here and there, but that day is all gone.
No presents. I'd just like to hold on to the house, to be honest. That would be a present.
And that's Cheryl there with her husband, Joe, Valerie. Now, I understand you also met another client, a man with several children.
Yes, this is Bill. He's got 5 children. He's 54 years old. And he made a major mistake, Sean, during the boom years by investing €100,000 in bank shares and borrowing the money from the bank to buy them. Now, his mortgage is €480,000. It should be costing him €2,800 a month, and he's paying €600. He's still in a job, but with much lower wages. And you're also going to hear Dave Kavanagh in this piece.
I'm paying as much as I can pay, and it just doesn't seem to be enough.
And what do you do with the rest of your money, the leftovers? What's your lifestyle like?
Very meagre. I don't go out drinking, or I don't know how long it is since I was at a cinema or anything like that. I'm quite happy to live the way I'm living, but there's definitely nothing extra. Nothing extra at all.
Bill is probably, he's coming from a new class of people, if you like, who are in danger of losing their homes.
Yeah, Bill is a professional person, and like Philip before him, again, we're finding it very hard to get traction with the bank. Full financial information has been sent in. We're seeking a meeting with the bank, and we haven't been successful as yet. On one particular call, the bank were very, very rude, and we've sought a transcript of the tape, which I would advise anyone that has a similar experience to seek that particular transcript, because it can be very useful, again, in defending yourself.
I have been affected mentally by this whole scenario, and my family have as well. I went to my doctor a month ago, and he listened to me, and he decided that he would write a letter to this particular bank. Within a month of that, I got a letter to say that they were referring my case to a group of solicitors in Dublin. And within a week of that, last Monday, I got a letter to say that they wanted vacant possession of my home within 7 days. So the letter about me being on the edge obviously had no effect on anybody. They came along and they put the boot as far into me as they could with telling me that I'm to be out of my home, gather up my possessions, or if they'd even allow me to do that, and go, I don't know where, I will go with my family.
Yeah, like, the legal process is really to frighten people. They believe it drives behaviour and it drives performance. And when a borrower receives a legal letter and they see that they have 7 days to leave their house, it automatically, first of all, when the person picks themselves up from the floor, they have to do something about it. But when the bank haven't followed any due process, when they haven't followed the code where people are entitled to a fair hearing and that your case is fairly looked at, in Bill's case here, none of that has happened.
Right, so there we have Dave Kavanagh again, outlining what can happen, and with him, Bill. You spoke to a barrister as well, Valerie.
Yeah, now, Paul Comiskey O'Keefe, he's a barrister with the Phoenix Project, and he's quite new to Phoenix. He told me he thought he knew what it was all about until he joined Phoenix.
I thought from practice at the bar that I understood how bad the problem was in the country. I have a number of mortgage cases that I've done in the past and that I do regularly now. But when I came in here, the amount of more people that will never make it to a solicitor's office to get help became so apparent to me. The other thing that was apparent was the lack of humanity that's going on. And it sounds dramatic, But the first analogy that came to my mind was that this place feels like a refugee camp for economic or financial refugees. Every case that comes in here is very simple. It's about a debt. If people don't pay it, it's inevitably going to get legal. The sad thing is that if no solution is found, inevitably somebody will live in that house for the price that a lot of people that are coming in here can manage to pay. But it will be a different person paying it to a different bank rather than the person who calls it a home.
That sounds terribly unfair.
It's ubiquitous. Every single case has that hallmark. And in the real world, that house will be sold to someone else who'll buy it at a market value. So many cases that come in here, you can say that the present loan-to-value ratio is 80%, but banks are not prepared to finance on an ongoing basis their current customer, the person who calls it a home, at 80% of what they were paying. But yet someone else will come along after the for sale sign has gone up and done that exact same thing with a different bank.
What about people who get all these bank letters and phone calls? Do you think some people are giving up too easily?
I think they don't do anything. It's the problem. Inaction. The ostrich approach, you know, it's as effective as heroin at making you forget your problems, and it's just as addictive because it is the perfect solution to something that doesn't have a solution. It doesn't achieve anything, though. So, unfortunately, you have a lot of people here, and when they come in the door, you can see the stress etched on their face. Usually it's a combination of smiling and crying when you're shaking their hand and seeing them out, because they've started to deal with it and they've started to understand that it's not necessarily as bleak as they thought.
And that's Paul Comiskey O'Keefe, barrister with the Phoenix Project. Valerie, thanks for bringing us those voices, and we'll be hearing more from the chief executive of the Phoenix Project, William Pryor, after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at TodaySOR.
And with me now in studio, William Pryor, Chief Executive of the Phoenix Project. And we heard from Valerie's report just before the break, William, about some of the really tough situations people find themselves in. Now, are there other individuals whose stories have a happier outcome?
There is other people have a happy. But going back to what you're saying, there's a huge amount of sadness. And it sickens me every day to hear the government of the day and Enda Kenny saying that the economy is improving. It might be improving on the outer, but when you start zooming in, there's where the huge issues are. I visit homes all over the country to find people with small amount of food, trying to stretch out their monies. Most women are telling me that the children's allowance is now going to pay off their mortgages, and we're getting a lot of that. I've been in homes where they can't switch on the heating. I've often asked people in the house, could they give me a cup of tea just to put my hands around it while I'm speaking to them and to keep myself warm in their homes. That's how bad things are around
the
country.
I suspect the Taoiseach and people working with him would say there is objective evidence that things are improving, albeit on a macro level, you say. But for instance, just this, in the last hour or so, the CSO has issued figures showing that unemployment has fallen by 37,000 so far this year. It's now 11.1% compared to 11.5%, and I think it was much higher in around the 14% just a couple of years ago. But nonetheless, at the micro level, those are the kind of cases that
yes.
you are dealing with. Still a lot of hardship. But if you look, say, at something like the case there of the man who borrowed €100,000 to buy bank shares. And of course, we know what happened, bank shares, but that's a gambling debt.
That is a gambling debt. And I think a lot of, at that particular time, when people was making huge monies, like in selling their properties, and like that gentleman you're speaking about, he went and he borrowed the money in order to take out those shares. Yes, it was a gambling debt. It's something that he shouldn't have done. But being speaking to the advisor or the bank at the time, they have given them this projection that if you put this 100,000, you will get X amount of pounds, and we thought it was the well-earned money. And that's what happened. It was a gamble.
Yes, and then a situation, and I don't want to be unfair to anybody, but I suspect that there are listeners out there saying, look, that's a mortgage, in his case, of 480,000. It should be costing him 2,800 a month. The best he can manage in his current circumstances, €480. Now, is there any way that his situation would would call, or that he might, in that situation, he might be best advised to let go of that house and go for somewhere smaller, because that's quite a sizable mortgage if you're talking about a house, or quite a sizable house if you're talking about, say, outside the Greater Dublin area.
Yes, but the problem is, you say, as that person would agree with that, to sell up and buy a smaller house, but who's going to buy his big house? The problem is that in the countryside, prices have not risen, they have went down quite a lot. So he's going to lose quite a lot of money, and then with the property tax on top of that. So at the moment, he can't do that, but he will do that, yes.
Do you discern any change in the situation and any more fluidity or flexibility on the part of the financial institutions since the establishment of the Insolvency Service of Ireland, the ISI? Because I heard two financial experts talking to Mary Wilson just a couple of days ago, saying that, you know, it itself may not be doing a huge amount of business, but its very existence has been an incentive for the financial institutions to move.
Well, maybe go back. We'll go back a small bit in regards of the banks before we go into the insolvencies. There's fear. People have fear. People are being told they're non-cooperative. The reason why is because of the bank's attitude towards individuals. We find it ourselves in the office among our own professionalism, the way they speak to us. And it's just on call. Now, for the second thing of going into insolvency and bankruptcy, as I say, we do that. We have an expert within the organisation that goes through the process with them. And then they go back to think about it. And then they have this fear of being on the register and their name getting out. So there's a fear, and it's not really made clear to the individual.
Right. And what about the fact that some of the banks will say to you, look, we want people to come and deal with this. Surely you and they would be glad of the service that kind of the bridge building service that you're in a position to provide between the distressed borrower and the institution. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case, though.
No, it's not the case. It's not the case. And this is why I'm hitting back at the government at the moment. The banks, I would say, are lying to the government with figures. They really are. And they're telling the government one story. I wanted the likes of Enda Kenny to come down to our office to witness what Valerie Cox has witnessed with people, real documents, and see exactly what's happening between the banks and the people.
I was going to say to you, William, sorry for cut across you. How many cases do you have on your hands at the moment?
We would have many, many thousands of cases on our hands at the moment. And live cases.
How many cases would you have helped people to resolve, at least to find a working kind of a solution?
Yeah, well, anything that we maybe get split mortgages, we'd also get something like a 6 month agreement leading up to 12 months. But the problem with that is when the people does the 6 months and the year, we still don't know where we are in the following year and the next 5 or 10 long-term solutions.
But what changes have you seen, improvements or otherwise, say in the last 12 months in people's capacity to get themselves out of trouble in the relations with the banks?
Well, can I say that people will only give what they have. The banks still want more, and our financial services tell them, look, you have to live. You have to be able to pay for your utilities, your food, and pay the bank. I've seen it with, say, if it's a mortgage out and other people's trying to pay the credit union and maybe a credit card debt, whatever it may be, the mortgage bank will say, look, forget about the credit union. Forget about the others. Look after us. That's the way it is. And people are so stressed out. They hear them crying, the same as being at a funeral. They hear people the way they cry and come up those stairs in our offices. And that's why we have this stress counsellor to take them aside, to give them the cup of tea and the biscuit.
So are you basically saying, William, that there has been no improvement?
No, is the answer.
You're saying there has been no improvement?
No. And I tell you this, it's going to get worse. And the reason I'm saying it's going to get worse, we hear the bank saying there is restructuring going on. We have done over 100,000 restructuring. Restructuring of what? 6 months? 12 months? To me, that's not restructuring. These are going to reappear again. We're going to see a huge amount of repossessions in the next 2 years. And this is where, and I keep saying it again, I want the government at this moment to come in and do something to help these poor people.
And are you saying that the structure isn't there, for instance, through the insolvency arrangements? Are you saying that's just not enough?
Well, the insolvency people are doing their best, and as you know, they're doing roadshows at the moment to encourage people to go and meet them, and it will take its time. It will take its course.
And if people want to go to the Phoenix Service, the Phoenix Project, do you charge them?
No fees.
Okay, well, look, we'll see how things develop. William Pryor, Chief Executive of the Phoenix Project, thanks for coming in. The number, by the way, is 1850 2030 40. That's 1850 2030 40. Yeah?
Yeah. Just one thing there, Sean, before you go. This organisation, it's small and it caters for all the people of all over Ireland. But it's very important we get proper funding. Like, we need donors, we need people to fundraise for us. We only work on a very small budget, and it's very important. If anyone's out there could help us to donate to us, it's
okay,
much appreciated.
And the email address is support@phoenixproject.ie. William Pryor, Chief Executive of the Phoenix Project, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.